Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Titans and Bears kick off the season this Sunday at Soldier Field in Chicago. And the man that will be on the call for Fox Sports, Adam Amin, joins us now here on the program. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right, boys. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. I don't know about you. I mean, you're there in Chicago. You've done the preseason. You're living the hype of the Caleb Williams hype train. I'm ready to just kick this thing off and play some football. I don't know about you, though.
Yeah, I think especially when we get to today, right? Like today feels like a different morning because it's time, right? It's real. It's football. It's football season finally for real now. So I think when we get to this weekend and this point of the weekend, right before we get to Sunday, now it starts to feel real. I've heard a lot about it from, you know, some of the players. We see the media coverage here in Chicago and how I think the guys are kind of tired of the hype as well. I think they just want to play. I'm sure the Titans feel the exact same thing. Tired of the preseason, tired of the speculation about everything, and kind of, you know, let's put toe to leather and kind of get back at it. So I'm excited for the weekend. This is one of the best weekends of the year. I know you guys probably feel the same way. So thrilled that we're finally here.
So you got to see him play in the preseason and all of that. And you know, I was actually in Chicago during his first preseason game watching from a bar, and you would have thought it was a Super Bowl. Everybody was so excited. But he didn't play a whole lot. Did you see enough to kind of make you think, okay, he's ready, he's still a rookie, he's going to have those, you know, those rookie moments in the NFL, but did you see enough?
I mean, enough to feel like he's got a command of the offense and enough to, you know, feel like, well, this is the guy, here we go, right? I think it's an important distinction that you just made that he's going to struggle at some point. When it's going to happen, I think, is going to be interesting to see how fans react to it. Because, you know, I've been asked this question a lot the last couple of days, just what's the vibe like, what's the buzz like. And, yeah, a few weeks ago when the preseason was starting up, I was thinking, like, man, I'm 37. They've never won a championship in my lifetime. I was born after Super Bowl 20, you know, about 10, 11 months after Super Bowl 20. And in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever felt the city have this type of buzz for the Bears. And I've experienced it a little bit here and there, you know, when Jay Cutler, you know, in some ways Nashville's own. I know he's a Santa Claus, Indiana guy, but, you know, Vanderbilt's own. When Cutler was in Chicago and he was putting up at least consistent numbers, you know, for a few seasons, there wasn't that much hype built around it. It was just, well, the defense, you know, they lived off the defense. Same thing in 2018 with Mitch Trubisky. He had some flashes. He was a Pro Bowler alternate that year, but the defense is what made that team run. This has been a monsters of the Midway City forever, right, since the mid-'80s. So quarterback play has never really garnered a whole lot of hype. And in the preseason, I felt like it was very high. Like, man, this is it. This is the guy. I think as we get closer to kickoff on Sunday, I'm starting to get a little bit more of a sense of cautious optimism in Chicago rather than just all out, all in. And there are definitely people, especially, you know, guys in media that are all in on it. And I don't disparage that at all. If you want to be all in on it, you should be. You should lean into, you know, the rare excitement that you get coming out of the gate. But I think I'm starting to hear a little bit more cautiousness from fans because of the track record of Chicago quarterback play over the last 40 years in the broad picture, and I would say in more of the micro picture over the last 10 years, right? Lack of consistency, a lot of one step forward, one step back play from quarterbacks that have had flashes of brilliance, flashes of consistency, but not enough of it. And Williams, to me, in the 43 snaps that we did see, but also what we've seen in training camp, what we saw in practice, what you probably watched if you flipped on Hard Knocks, was a guy who has command, who has understanding, who has confidence, almost, one of my colleagues put it, an attractive level of arrogance that you want from your guy at that position, from the person that's going to be in charge of the ball more than anybody else in your team. So when he struggles, and he will, you know, he's missed some reads, had some off-target passes, got away with a few during the preseason, that's fine. When he makes some mistakes, like he will, because, like you guys said, he's a rookie. Every rookie goes through some growing pains. What is the fan reaction going to be? And I think that's why I've started to sense a little bit more cautiousness over the last couple of days, just because I think fans are remembering, like, hey, he's about to face an NFL defense. every game he plays from here on out is going to be the toughest defense he's seen. And I really like Tennessee's frontline defense. I don't know where the depth is, but, man, I actually really like this defense. The starters on this unit I think are pretty good, and I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk like a lot of fans, I think, 3 weeks ago were thinking, right? It's like, oh, man, we're winning a Super Bowl. This guy's winning the MVP. Yeah, well, Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry and Arden Key and Samandre Sweat are waiting on the other side. So I think I understand the cautiousness too.
Adam Amin is with us from Fox Sports.
Adam, by the way, the greatest Chicago Bears quarterback of all time is from Nashville, Mr. Bill Wade. So just a little Nashville tie-in for you there.
Great pull. Great pull, my friend.
Yeah, although Jim McMahon's up there because he was crazy, but Bill Wade because he's from Nashville. I want to ask you this, Adam. I think there's more pressure on Caleb Williams because they're playing at home than on the road. Agree or disagree?
You know, I think that's a fair assessment. I just because I think I don't know if it's going to be harder for him. I don't know if he's going to care one way or another. But I do think there's an added pressure in front of your home fans, for sure. They only got a small glimpse of him in the preseason because the Bears only played one home preseason game, and he played, I think, 19 or 20 snaps in that contest. So that was the lone time that the home fans got a chance to see him. So I think, you know, they're really jacked up to see him play on Sunday. So I think in that sense, there might be a little added pressure, but I liked what he said on Hard Knocks. Kerry Joseph, the quarterback coach, asked him, you know, how nervous are you on a scale from, you know, 1 to 10? And he's like, I don't get nervous. Now, again, I don't know how athletes, in particular high-level athletes, process those types of emotions and feelings, not being an elite-level athlete. So I'm not sure exactly how that works, but I like that, you know, he has that kind of swagger to him and has some confidence to him and walks in with that, and I think guys sense that. Matt Eberflus, the coach of the Bears, made a point to us when we talked with him in the preseason. He said, you know, as much as Caleb gets the hype, and rightfully so, again, when you're the quarterback, you're going to have that. It's only compounded by being the number one pick. It's only compounded by having a good resume in college. All that being said, everybody else still has to play well. You know, it's still the ultimate team sport, and everybody still has to, you know, step up and level up their game as well. The offensive line has to play well. DeAndre Swift, I think, is the next most important offensive player for the Bears this season. Guy they brought over from, you know, after a Pro Bowl season in Philly last year, was a good Detroit Lion for a few seasons. His play is exceptionally important. What Nate Davis, the former Titan, looks like health-wise over the course of the season is incredibly important. What this, you know, somewhat revamped interior of the offensive line looks like is very, very important. Everybody else has to play well, too. It can't just be, you know, Caleb Williams trying to carry a team as a rookie, despite being named the first rookie quarterback captain in Bears history. There's still more pressure on the unit than there is just on Caleb Williams. And I think being at home, maybe for the defense, that'll help him out a little bit, too.
My goodness, that's crazy to think about how he's a captain and a rookie has never taken a snap in the National Football League. All right, if we talked to you at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, what would be the best case scenario for the Chicago Bears? What would be the worst case scenario for the Chicago Bears?
I think a two interception day, you know, is probably the most realistic worst case scenario for the Bears, just because they're looking at Caleb Williams as a guy who, you know, you can't turn the ball over, obviously, at this level if you want to win games consistently. So I think that's probably the worst-case scenario, where he's turned the ball over, Tennessee has taken advantage of that and, you know, won by probably double digits. I think best-case scenario, he has a clean day. They win the game. They run for, you know, 130, 140, 150 yards as a team and have some balance. And, you know, if Williams throws three touchdown passes, then he gets one to each of the three wide receivers. I think that's probably like the high end of like the positive thinking for a Bears fan right now. I think those are kind of the realistic ends of the spectrum.
We're talking to Adam Amin from Fox Sports. So when you have been doing your prep for this and you watch Will Levis, I know he only had a handful of games, 9 games last year. He's learning a new offense. They're looking for him to take big strides, and that's something that, you know, he talked about yesterday. What do you see from the Titans QB?
Well, Mechanically, you know, there has to be some improvement, and I think we've heard some things about him in the preseason where he's worked on a lot of mechanical stuff, whether it's footwork, whether it's arm slot, some of the timing. Listen, this offense, you know, the similarities of these two teams and where they're coming in, I think it would be surprising to some people because I don't think people are appreciating the situation that the Titans are in, right? New head coach, new play caller. It's not a new quarterback, but essentially, you know, still a very, very, very young quarterback who doesn't have a full season of snaps under his belt yet. And new running back, a trio of wide receivers that I think are highly touted and rightfully so, and an offensive line that has some question marks about it, but is expected to be better. You know, I'm sure Bill Callahan is going to have a say in that too. The similarities between these two teams are striking. And I think Will Levis is in a very similar circumstance. He's got weapons around him, and he's got support in Tony Pollard, you know, like the Bears have with DeAndre Swift. I think he needs to be more accurate. He needs to – I'm not saying he's got to throw for 30 touchdown passes this year for this team to be good, but he can't turn the ball over at the rate he was turning it over last year in those last, you know, handful of starts. And he can't be as inaccurate as he was. NFL average is 65% completion rate. He was at 58. That is far too low, you know, far too low of a percentage. That's far too big of a gap right now for this team to be successful in the passing game, especially if Pollard and Spears aren't getting a lot of traction on first and second down and putting Will and Hopkins and Boyd and these guys into third and long situations. He's got to be more accurate. And if he is, I think this offense is going to be fine. You know, again, same deal. I don't know where the depth is. I know, you know, the receiving core doesn't go super, super deep, but they've got a lot of snaps as long as Burks is healthy. And, you know, Westbrook Akine has played a lot of football the last couple of years because of the lack of depth at wide receiver. I think he's got weapons. I think he's got options. I think, you know, taking a profit is never a bad thing. Taking the check down to Spears or Pollard or finding a release in Okonkwo, I don't think these are bad things to do. I know he wants to test the ball downfield. I know he wants to find Hopkins. I know he wants to get Tyler Boyd involved. I know he's trying to get Burks the ball. I know he wants Calvin Ridley to feel comfortable, a guy who I think is a pretty decent deep ball threat too. But I think as long as Will is taking a profit, as long as he's constantly moving the ball forward, staying ahead of the chains, as the folks like to say, I think this offense is going to be in much better shape than people realize. I would love to hear what you guys, because the Bears are going to see three AFC South teams right out of the gate in Tennessee, Houston, and Indianapolis, and they'll see Jacksonville and London later. I think this division's a little bit more wide open than people are giving a thought for it. I think everyone's just saying, well, Houston's clearly the best team, and they're probably right. But I would like to know what you guys think just in terms of what the viewpoint of the division is in the AFC South.
I think you said it. I mean, I think it's people have viewed it as it wasn't very good, and now I think it's a little bit more of a there could be something there, but you know, for us, it's kind of a wait and see. I mean, Houston's the one that everybody's going to be picking because Stroud had an amazing rookie year. They look like they're the strongest. Can Jacksonville take a bounce back after having a good year? You know, Trevor Lawrence is getting paid like a top quarterback. Can he play like a top quarterback? And then I think the biggest question marks are probably Indy and here in Tennessee. You mentioned the Titans offense. We all think it on paper, it looks like it's going to be good, but you said it. How deep is it? And I think that Indy might be asking themselves the same thing. And can Anthony Richardson stay healthy? So that's kind of the view that we have of that division.
That seems right to me. I feel like it's more wide open than people realize. It's hard to replicate some of the things that Houston did defensively year over year. But, again, I have a lot of respect for that defense. I think everybody in the division does. But I have questions about Indianapolis. I have questions about Jacksonville on both sides of the ball. And, again, hard to recreate some of the things that Houston did last year. So I don't think there's any reason that Tennessee can't be competitive for the division title. I don't think they would be a wild card team. I don't think a wild card will come out of the AFC South. This season, I think there's you know, too much jockeying for those, you know, 6 and 7 spots among some of the other teams in the other divisions. But I feel like they could be. There's no reason that Tennessee can't be competitive for a division title if you win these divisional games, because I think it's a lot more wide open than people realize.
Sorry about that. You've called some amazing things. I'm just reading here now that You called the Nathan's hot dog eating contest one year. How do you prepare to call that? I think that's fantastic.
You know what's cool? I watched a little bit of that Netflix thing with Chestnut and Kobayashi, and I was like, where was my phone call? I would have done this. I definitely would have done this. It was a great experience, man. It was a lot of fun. I did it for two summers, 18 and 19, and I prepped it the same way like I kind of prep like an NBA game or something. You know, you have essentially player profiles, you know, vitals, where are they from? And I've always tried to think of what's the headline for every competitor. So, you know, for Joey Chestnut, he was gunning for a world record. He had won, I think when I first started, he had already won a 10 or 11 Nathan Felt at that point. So, you know, that's the headline, obviously. Then you give a little bit of context. Well, he's got, you know, 40-some-odd world records when it comes to major league eating. And, by the way, major league eating is a real governing body of competitive eating. So they took good care to keep track of stats and records and things of that nature. So you have some context. And then you try to have some anecdotal stuff. Joey Chestnut was, you know, Bay Area guy, was from San Jose. I know he's originally from Kentucky. But, you know, grew up in San Jose, was a construction foreman for a while, got into competitive eating on the lark, and it turned out he was pretty good at it. Then there's the thing with Kobayashi where they kind of become rivals against one another. Kobayashi kind of falls off and then leaves, you know, the governing body of the sport. And, you know, we prepped it the same way that we would with any other competitor in any other sport. What's the headline? What's some context? And what's some anecdotal material that might connect you emotionally to him? And then you take it from there, right? 10 minutes of grueling battle. You introduce some of the competitors in the first few minutes. You know, obviously Chestnut was the dominant force in it, so you get into more of the deep dive story in the middle couple minutes, and then as you get to those final 2 or 3 minutes of the competition, you're locking in on whether or not he's going to pass this world record. And the two times that we had him, you know, he set a new world record. He hit 70 both times that we had him. And, God, I think he's pumped it up to like 80 or 83 or something like that at this point.
Wow. That's awesome.
Adam, before we let you go,
I feel very good that I was able to rattle all that off having not covered competitive eating in the last 5 years.
Because you're a pro, Adam.
It was pretty impressive. Before we let you go, you're doing the game with Mark Sanchez on Sunday. Derek Mason, the receiver, does our midday show and played with Mark for a little bit with the Jets. And he always talks about that at the beginning of the season, Mark bought all the receivers' robes. And he still has it to this day. So could you please pass on to Mark that D-May says thank you for the robe?
Absolutely. Well, that's a wonderful thing to hear. And I know he's going to get a real kick out of that, man. That's really awesome to hear that from you guys. But he'll love that. I'm excited. The whole crew is getting into town today. And I'm having everybody over for dinner. And we're going to watch the Ravens-Chiefs game and, you know, have some food and have some drinks and hang out at the house before we kind of kick this thing off this weekend. So I'll get a chance to see him tonight, and I'll pass that along. I'm sure he's really going to appreciate that.
Awesome. Adam, thanks so much for doing this. We look forward to listening to your call on Sunday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Adam Amin, Fox Sports, of course, based in Chicago as well, joining us here on the show. He and Mark Sanchez and Christina Pink will be on the call for the Titans and the Bears on Sunday on Fox Sports. We'll react to that. Got much more coming, including Matt Hasselbeck at 10:30. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.